Well, Donald Trump is campaigning in North Carolina today, in Wilmington and Fayetteville, after his big economic speech yesterday, in which he talked a lot about the energy industry.
A Trump administration will end this war on the American worker and unleash an energy revolution that will bring vast new wealth to our country.
Professor Michael Weber is deputy director at the Energy Institute at the University of Texas at Austin. He joins us now. Welcome.
Great. Thank you very much.
And when you heard him say that he wants to unleash an energy revolution, some would say we're already in an energy revolution right now.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is maybe he missed the news that the energy revolution has already happened and is still underway, in fact. And so I wondered what would be new to this revolution.
Well, and give us a sense of what the revolution that's going on right now looks like. What parts of the energy industry are benefiting? Because obviously he would say, well, coal is not in an energy revolution.
Yeah, the energy revolution we've experienced for the last 6-7 years has really been transformative across the entire energy sector with a lot of winners. We've got a lot of production in oil and gas that's up, a lot of production of wind and solar that's up, and coal is down. So coal hasn't been one of the winners in the last few years, but we have a lot of other winners and a lot of success. And the good news is it means we're making more money for energy. Our energy is cheaper, and we're actually even exporting more energy than we used to.
And what about his call for lifting regulations? I want to talk about what that would mean in a few minutes. But first of all, how burdensome are the regulations on the energy industry right now?
The energy industry is really heavily regulated. There are regulations at every step along the way, from the place where we take the fuels out of the ground to where it's refined, moved, burned, used. And that is a burden. It costs a lot of money. But it also protects our air and water, so it has all these public health and other ecosystem benefits. According to the Bush administration, about a decade ago, they did an assessment of the Clean Air Act, for example, and concluded that dealing with acid rain had a 40-to-1 benefit-to-cost ratio, which meant for every dollar of cost from regulatory burden, there's about $40 of benefits for public health effects and reduced asthma and that kind of thing.
But is there one regulation that you can think of that critics of all the regulation would point to and say, this doesn't make any sense, and you would agree?
There's lots of silly regulations out there, so we can find a long history of examples in the energy world of sort of boneheaded or not really thoughtful regulations. I tend to think the ones that are mandates are the ones that we find most embarrassing later on, where the government says we must use a certain type of energy or we cannot use a certain type of energy. So I find those mandates and prohibitions the most silly looking backwards.
Let's listen to a little more from Donald Trump's speech yesterday. He talked a lot about regulations, and he said he wants to end the president's regulations on coal plants, the EPA's regulations on coal plants. Let's listen.
According to the Institute for Energy Research, lifting the restrictions on all sources of American energy will do the following: increase GDP by more than $100 billion annually, add over 500,000 new jobs annually, and increase annual wages by more than $30 billion over the next 7 years.
First of all, what's your reaction to those numbers that he just cited there? And secondly, what would the cost be of lifting those regulations on public safety?
Yeah, the challenge is a lot of these numbers tend to have one part of the story. So yeah, you could lift regulatory costs in one place, but then you have some health care or other public health burden somewhere else. In general, the war on coal, so to speak, or these regulations around coal really are just now coming into effect at the very end of the Obama administration. Most of the regulations we're dealing with coal around air emissions were from the Bush administrations, George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, dealing with things like precursors to acid rain and smog formation and mercury emissions. What people tend to think about with the Obama administration are carbon dioxide regulations, which haven't really even taken effect yet. So a lot of the things that coal is suffering from in terms of regulatory burden are from regulatory burdens placed upon them by Republican presidents trying to deal with the public health impacts of coal. Most of the coal's economic suffering these days actually from cheap natural gas, not the regulations, although there are more regulations looming.
And what about his comments on the coal industry and putting coal miners back to work? Is that ever likely to happen, that coal miners who are being put out of work are going to go back to work doing the same thing they were doing before?
if we look at the history of the coal mining world, it has suffered job losses many times. It is a commodity and therefore goes through boom and bust cycles just like every other commodity. If we look over the last 7 years, there's been over 30,000 jobs lost from coal, which is pretty devastating until you compare that to what happened in the last 4 years of the Reagan administration and the George H.W. Bush administration. Over those 8 years, 65,000 jobs were lost. So the last 8 years of those Republican administrations saw more job losses in coal than in the last 7 years of the Obama administration. And that's because job losses in coal are a part of its story. The latest wave feels even more brutal because it seems like coal might not come back. At least that's the concern. And it might not because coal is dirtier than the others. And so for coal to come back requires a lot of innovation to make sure coal is cleaner. And some of those innovations exist but are pretty expensive. It's just easier to use wind and solar and natural gas instead. So there are some serious job losses. It's hard for me to imagine a president bringing those jobs back without doing some major intervention in the markets, which in general is surprising to hear from a Republican candidate because Republicans generally are the party that doesn't want to meddle in the markets just to protect very particular technologies or companies.
That's Professor Michael Weber, a deputy director at the Energy Institute at the University of Texas, Austin. He's also author of Thirst for Power, Energy, Water, and Human Survival. Professor, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.